We've been studying Christmas and that Christ the Savior is born. So there are two times where angels appeared with this message. The first one, an angel appeared to Joseph when he was thinking about divorcing Mary quietly. And what did the angel say to him? Don't do that. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you will name him Jesus, which means what? Jesus means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Then an angel appeared to the shepherds while they were out watching their sheep and shared what's a famous scripture now. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all peoples, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. So we're going to look again today about the importance of a Savior. Last week I reminded us that we all need a Savior because we all have what? Sins. Okay, that's the first fill-in. We all have sins, so we need a Savior. But we also need to go deeper than that. So I want to ask a question, and then I'm going to pray for us. Who is a sinner? Okay, but what's give me a definition. Who's a sinner? Someone who what? Someone who sins, okay? Someone who transgresses. If you sin, you're a sinner. But there's another definition of sinner that I want us to understand and take to heart this morning. Who else? How else could you define a sinner? Someone who's born from Adam and Eve. Someone descended from Adam and Eve inherits what kind of nature? A sinful nature or a sin nature. And so if Jesus is going to be our Savior, he has to not only free us from the penalty of our sins, but in order to fully deliver us, he has to enable us to overcome the power of sin. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for everyone being here. I thank you that they have hearts that are open and receptive to you. I pray that you would help me and empower me to share your word in such a way that it produces faith in us and it produces freedom from sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get number two? We all need a Savior because we have a sin nature. Now, if we inherited our sin nature from Adam, we need something stronger than Adam to free us. And on your sheet, there's a great scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Paul wrote this, "For as in Adam," meaning being descended from Adam, "all what? Die. So in Christ, all will be made alive." Who's stronger, Adam or Christ? Christ, okay? There's no competition. So the sin, the problem that's come to us from Adam is less powerful than the solution that's come to us from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we need to believe that. We need to be more aware of Christ than our sins. We need to become more aware of Christ living in us than the power of sin at work in us. Are you with me? Okay. Here's an example. Prohibition, I think it was whatever it was, 19, 18, or 20, there's a prohibition law in America, outlawed alcoholic beverages. So all the bars were cleared of alcoholic drinks. Did that eliminate drinking in America? Why not? Because it went underground. People had stills, they made whiskey distilleries, moonshine out back. So they couldn't get rid of all the alcohol unless you went to the source. So praise God, he has gone to the source of our problem, which is we have a corrupt nature. Paul said it this way. Turn with me to Galatians 2:20. I actually didn't get this one on your sheet. Paul in Galatians makes a strong statement on this subject. He says this. I'm going to quote from the King James Version, because it says it very succinctly. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, live in my human body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Very powerful statement. I am crucified with Christ. That means I'm a dead person, yet I'm alive. So what does that mean? So we're going to try and unpack that a little bit. Paul preached not only justification by faith, but also becoming an entirely new person. So we see in point three on your outline, Jesus died in our place to pay the penalty of our sins. That's what we mostly talk about. You can believe in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. The next point, Jesus lives where? Within us to free us from the power of sin. In order to overcome sin, there has to be a power at work in you that's more powerful than sin and wrong desires and temptation and things that pull us down. So God knows that. And so that because of that, he has given us his Spirit. Where does God's Spirit live? In us when we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. So Paul didn't just preach justification. Number five is justification is God is judge. We are forgiven. Why? Because he says so. God has determined that when you receive what Christ did on the cross, your sins are forgiven. And his judgment concerning you is not guilty. That's his verdict. When you have faith in Christ, you are not guilty. You may feel guilty, you may be down on yourself, but God says, nope, you're not guilty. It's covered, it's done, it's a done deal. Justification is amazing. God does more than that, though. We're not just forgiven sinners. See, what's a forgiven sinner? That's someone who's forgiven, but they're still bound. They still transgress. They still disobey God's commandments. They can't shake certain habits. So we're forgiven, but we're like sinners. That's not very satisfying, is it? How many of you struggle with that? Yeah, probably all of us, right? So hopefully, as I keep preaching, that this will help you. Paul says we're not just forgiven, we become new people. Why are we new? It's just not like a nice idea, like I will try and convince myself that I'm a new person. No. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul had a transformation where he says, Jesus Christ, a person, came to live inside of them. How is that possible? By the Spirit of Christ. We're spiritual beings, and God's Holy Spirit can live inside of us. So in Adam, you were born into what? Sin and death. In the last Adam, Jesus, what are you born into? Eternal life. Just the exact opposite. God deals with the source, our fallen human nature. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. What's he dead to? Sin, what else is he dead to? The old him, okay, the old me. What else is he dead to? The world, okay? So we have sin and our flesh and the world and the devil are all things that pull us down. And so Paul's saying, I'm dead to that. My wife Ingrid had a very dramatic conversion experience. So one time years ago in church, she shared her testimony of how she went to college, she was going to parties, she was at fraternities, drinking, guys, immorality, and then she met Jesus. And she was transformed. She was able to put that all away. And I can remember one time when she shared her story, one of the sisters in the church came up to her afterwards and said, Ingrid, you weren't really that bad, were you? Like, you weren't really like that party-hardy fraternity girl. Were you like, just tell us like you were like good. And she's like, no, I was really that bad. But she was crucified with Christ. And so she had an immediate death to all of that. No more parties, no more drunkenness, bagged her boyfriend. Praise the Lord, right? Okay. But she was able to put it all behind. She had an immediate death to all that sin that had controlled her. Now, that doesn't mean that she was immediately perfect. She had lots of other sinful issues with inside of her and in our minds and in our lives that she had to struggle with. But there was an immediate radical change. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God incarnate. The Word became flesh or human and lived among us. So in Christ, in a sense, we become an incarnation of God. Does that sound vaguely heretical? Okay, I want you to feel this. Christ is God the Son. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The apostles taught that the whole world came into being through Jesus and his Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. At creation, Genesis 1, it says the Spirit of God brooded over the waters, and then God spoke his Word, Jesus the Word, let there be light, and light, the universe lit up. So if Christ lives in me, wow. Can we get a grip on that? By faith, you're not a forgiven sinner if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. The old things have passed away. New things have come. That's who you are. That's how God wants you to see yourself. God wants you to have faith to live that out. So number 6 on your outline, God instructs us that you were included with Christ when he died. Paul says you were united with him in his death. And what do with dead people? We bury them in the waters of baptism, and they're raised up into newness of life. You're united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. So in a sense, what are we? We are incarnations. Christ lives in us. Obviously, we're not God, but God lives in us. Wow, that's amazing. We should be excited as believers at what God has done for us. Here's a story. Watchman Nee was a preacher in China in the 1900s. And there's a book called The Normal Christian Life, which I highly recommend to you. If you read it, you'll say, wow, I see where Dave gets a lot of his illustrations. Here's a story that Watchman Nee told. He went to visit a fellow pastor who did not believe in being born again. He just preached that God was with all people and we just need to try and be better people. So they were eating lunch together. His whole family was there. And there was a dog, the family dog, was present at the lunch. And he said to the pastor, the man's name was Pastor Wong. He asked about the dog. He goes, yeah, he goes, what's the dog's name? Whatever, it's like the dog is Fido. He said, oh. He said, can I call him Fido Wong? He's like, well, not really. I said, well, can I call him Master Wong? And he goes, well, no, he's a dog. I said, but yes. I said, but here are your daughters. They're Miss Wong. Why can't I call your dog Master Wong? And the guy goes, well, he's a dog. I said, well, is he a faithful dog? Does he obey you? Yes, he obeys me. Well, if he obeys you, why can't I? And they had this little discussion. Watchman Nee was making a point. It wasn't a matter of goodness. The fact is the dog had a dog nature and his family had a human nature. And Watchman Nee was trying to get him to see that it's not a matter of whether we're good enough, whether how much we obey God. We are fundamentally flawed by our nature. And just as we don't, as much as we love our dogs, a dog is not a human being. Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must. It's not an option. It's not like, yeah, if you kind of like that message. No, you must be born again. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you have to be born of God. You have to be born from heaven. And hallelujah, when we receive Christ, we are born of God and born from heaven. Amen? So you can say, Dave, that sounds great. Then why am I still having problems? Anybody ever feel that way? Why am I still struggling? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Galatians 5. You don't have to turn to Galatians 5. It's right on your sheet. Verses 16 and 17. Let's read this out loud together. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Paul gives us a deeper understanding. Even though Christ lives in you, your human body still has wrong desires. And so that sets up a battle. There's a battle inside of me that I have desires that God says are wrong. And so his Spirit is encouraging me to say no to those and put them to death. But my flesh is strong, and it reacts and says, oh, don't do that. Dave, come on. This will be like more fun. This will be better. This will be whatever. Are you with me? So that's the struggle that we face. It really helps me to read this. You will have to battle your fleshly desires as long as you're alive. Okay? So that's number 8. There's a battle between the Spirit and your fleshly desires. But the next point is, this is a conflict that you are destined to win. Keith Green had a great song where he talks about he's up all night, he's been praying, he's been wrestling with his fleshly desires. But it has this great line about how he's come out and he's conquered it. It's a battle that God's destined me to win. And that's what I want us to get this morning. God's will for you is to win the battle. That's his will. That's not just a nice idea. It's not like, oh, I wish. No, that is God's will. Your will be done in my life means I overcome my natural sinful tendencies. Hallelujah. I've been a Christian for 46 years. Yeah, I know. Tell me, I'm feeling old. I was 14 years old. I invited Jesus Christ into my life. I said, Lord, come into every part of my life. So there's times where I wonder, why am I still struggling? Why haven't I conquered anger, pride, lust, self-centeredness? Why, you know, why does that even bother? I'm 46 years, for crying out loud. Because the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. So what? I cannot do whatever I feel like doing. That's a good message for us, isn't it? Good message for America today. Guess what? Life does not come from doing whatever you want to do. The idea of this total freedom that's espoused today is a lie. It doesn't bring life. It brings bondage. My Savior is greater than my sinful nature. The power of Jesus in me is greater than the power of sin. So if I align my heart and my mind with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, walking by the Spirit, what happens? I will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So that's our job. Our job is to get in line with the Holy Spirit and walk with the Spirit. Now, if we look back down on your sheet here, Paul really spells out the difference between what your flesh, your human desires are, and what the Holy Spirit desires. So I'm just going to read through these. If you have your pencil, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Why don't you underline obvious? Then he goes on, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. What's debauchery? It sounds bad. We're not quite sure what it is, but we know it's bad. Debauchery means you give in to your wrong desires. It's like you give in to your craven desires. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Whenever we see jealousy, we see disharmony in relationships, where's that coming from? Our sin nature. It's from the flesh. We don't have to wonder, gee, I wonder where that's from. It's obvious. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, little cliques. Sometimes churches have cliques. And there's groups of people who know each other, and they like knowing each other, and sometimes unintentionally they don't kind of let anybody else in. Well, that's wrong. That's our sinful nature that makes us that way. Rage, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So number 10 is you cannot inherit the kingdom if you choose to live by the flesh. He goes on in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, or most of us memorize patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, underline this please, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit how? Do we earn it? No, it's as a gift. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have a job to do. What's our job? Crucify the flesh. That's our job. God won't do that for you. You can give in to the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. God's Spirit in you is prompting you to do the right thing. So our job is to give in to the stirring and prompting of the Holy Spirit and to say no or put to death the desires that come from the flesh. Does that make sense? Number 12, God's Spirit is much more what? Powerful than your flesh. How many of you sometimes just feel like sin is like stronger, right? We just kind of feel like, well, whatever, I'm a lost cause. I keep sinning, I keep stumbling. That's understandable. So we have to come to a place of becoming more aware of Christ in us than we are of the power of the flesh in us. Do you think we can do that? Yes, we can. If you say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh, you will overcome. So again, I'm asking the question, who's stronger, your flesh or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. The more you say no to your flesh, the more it becomes a habit to overcome it. Does that make sense? We all develop habits. The reason sin is very strong in some of our lives is for years and years and years, we've lived a certain way. We've thought a certain way about ourselves. We've learned to react a certain way to people when they treat us wrongly. And so it's ingrained in us to respond the wrong way. And some of those habits don't go away instantaneously. Look at Galatians 6 with me. You're going to have to look this one up. It's not on your sheet. Verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows or plants, this is what he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. God is not mocked. When you continually sow to your spirit, When you purpose and daily and weekly say no to things that you know are wrong, you will reap a victory. But it doesn't always feel that way. Sometimes it feels like this is a waste of time. Why am I doing this? God's not mocked. That's a lie. That's how Satan wants you to think. You will benefit from what you're doing. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13 is at the bottom of your sheet. It says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I told Abundant Grace Church a couple months ago, I preached on this, I want that to be like our theme verse. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I want City Church to have it too, all right? So New Frontiers, Boston. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, what's the key word in that verse? Christ, okay, hallelujah. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can learn to be strengthened by Jesus Christ. I can learn to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. I can learn to say no to my flesh and to say yes to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit and thereby not carry out the desires of my flesh. I can learn to do that. So, on a personal level, I wrote down here, under put it into practice, write down what stumbles you. Okay, what stumbles you? What are you struggling with? Write it down. Let's begin to address that this year with faith, okay? Paul, in Galatians 6, 14 through 15, says this, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Can we say amen to that? So Paul is saying this. There are Jews coming to Gentile, non-Jewish believers saying, you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be a Christian. Paul said, absolutely not. You can be a Christian by receiving a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's saying circumcision is nothing. And by the way, non-circumcision, being a non-Jew, is nothing. What matters is a new creation. The new creation is from Jesus. So I refuse to boast in anything. Paul had lots to boast in. He was an eloquent preacher. He was a highly dedicated, well-educated rabbi. Gamaliel was the most famous rabbi in Jerusalem. Paul was trained by him. So among his countrymen, he was highly esteemed. He said, that's nothing to me. What the world thinks of me is nothing. Even what other brothers and sisters think of me is nothing. There's only one thing I'm proud of, that's Jesus Christ. There's only one thing I'll boast in, that's the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to be that kind of person. And I want you to be that kind of person too. Hallelujah. Jesus is my boast. One time, I remember years ago, we were praying for people after the service, and we prayed for Jessica Niebuhr, and she had something wrong with her hip, and we had just been at a New Frontiers conference with Terry Virgo, so we were praying for her leg, you know, maybe her leg needed to be longer. We didn't see her leg grow at all, but a couple weeks later, she came to me. She goes, you know, Dave, after you guys prayed for me, my hip got better, and I felt I should have gotten up and bragged about Jesus at the microphone. I'm like, amen. See, that's kind of how we would say it. I would brag about Jesus. We know bragging's wrong, right? Unless you're bragging about Jesus, hallelujah. You are allowed to brag about Jesus and boast about how powerful he is, how great he is, what he's done in your life, what he's going to do in your life, the potential other people have in him. We can boast about that. So you can say, no matter how much you're struggling with sin, you can step up and say, you know what? My Savior is stronger than my sin. Hallelujah. I have a Redeemer who frees me from the power of sin. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Are you with me? That's who we are. You've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You've been united with Christ in his death and resurrection. His Spirit in you is encouraging you to go for it. Paul said, sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Grace is more powerful than human effort. Keeping the law is I try really hard to obey God's commandments. Paul says, nope, that's not how we do it. The power of grace in me, the power of Christ changing me from the inside out, makes me a person whom sin cannot master. Number 13, did you get it? Do not be deceived. You will have success if you don't give up. And what are we going to determine to do? Boast in Christ. All right. So when you write down what it is you're struggling with, then you need to take it to prayer, confess it to the Lord, and then you need to say about that specific sin, Jesus, you are able to deliver me. Based on your word, that is going to be my confession. Has nothing to do with you, but has everything to do with the power of Christ in you. And we need to believe that. And we need to encourage one another. And we need to speak that to one another and pray for one another. And we will be overcomers. Praise God. Could we have the worship team come up to close, have a closing song for us? So I want you to take a minute or two to pray right now. Like I said, this sounds great in theory, but what about what I'm struggling with? All of us have sins that we struggle with. I'm praying to be a more patient, kinder, especially kinder speaking. I'm generally kind, but to speak kindly to my wife and family. So I'm praying for myself because I get frustrated with my lack of doing that. So I'm still at it. The flesh is still warring against God's Spirit, but this is a battle God's destined me to what? Win, okay? So I can keep changing. So just pray. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Encourage them that you see their struggle and you're not put off by it. You are with them. You are wanting to help them. Holy Spirit, let your encouragement come into our hearts. Let faith come into our hearts. Let that desire to do what pleases God take root in our hearts today. So just talk to God on your own. Father, I pray that your Spirit would release faith in all of our hearts right now. Faith for those specific areas where we stumble all the time. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, you're not mocked. If we don't grow weary, we'll reap. Thank you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we rely on you. We put our hope in you. We confess we will fail left to ourselves, so we put our hope and trust in you. Hallelujah.